Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Filling in for Sam Shad, I'm Mike Draper, and we're turning the tables today. I've got the white tennis shoes on, and we're interviewing Nevada Broadcast Hall of Famer Sam Shad, celebrating the 22-year anniversary of Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you right back here soon.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. I've got a very special guest today, none other than Sam Shad, Nevada Broadcast Hall of Famers. We're turning the tables. Sam, thanks for letting us do this.
No, I'm happy to do it. It's 22 years of Nevada Newsmakers. And I completely missed the 20th anniversary and the 21st anniversary, so we're doing 22. And so thank you for, this is number two in our series.
Well, this is a lot of fun. You know, Sam, I've been working with you since I started my career. In fact, we were just sharing stories about how I first met you. And I've always thought it'd be interesting if, you know, I've always enjoyed hearing some of your stories and your perspective. And so to allow all the viewers to see that a little bit today is, I think, really special. So I kind of want to get right into it. You've done a little bit of everything in media. You've been a DJ and advertising and print and radio. Actually, I'm not sure about print, but radio and broadcast. Can you give us a little bit about how Nevada Newsmakers came about?
Yeah, you know, the origins of Nevada Newsmakers for me actually really starts in 1993 when I was doing a morning show on the ABC affiliate up in Reno at 11 o'clock. And the public service director, Tammy Cummings at the time, said that she couldn't get anybody from the news department to host their monthly Nevada Newsmakers program. That was their public affairs show. And I was already doing 5 half-hours a week. And I said, you mean I can have another show where I can pick anybody I want as a guest and have them and ask them any questions I want? She said, oh, absolutely. I just need the help here. So I started doing Nevada Newsmakers, did that for several years, and then stopped for a little while. And then the general manager at the time of the TV station, it was a new general manager, new ownership, said to me that he wanted to produce programs with me because he'd seen our dining show that he had thought was kind of a joke when he first heard about it. And then he said, now every week I go to all the restaurants that you guys talk about.
And I can relate.
Yes, so he said, you know, what other kind of programs, you know, would you be interested in doing? And I said, well, what are you thinking? He said, automotive. And I said, yeah, that's kind of boring. I'm thinking politics. And he said, well, I think that would be boring. And I said, well, not the way I want to do it. And what was in my mind was, I was a huge fan of Larry King, from Larry King's radio days when he had a 3-hour radio show on the Mutual Radio Network, and he'd do 2 1-hour interviews with guests, and they'd do a 1-hour show with open lines. Anybody could call in and talk about anything. And I thought he was wonderful, and I was especially impressed with the way that he seemed to ask really tough questions, but in the nicest way, that didn't offend people. And some people thought he was soft, but really, if you go back and listen to those shows, you realize that he asked the toughest questions in the world. He just did it in a nice way. It wasn't antagonistic. And then I became a fan of Barbara Walters, Tom Snyder, Don Imus, all people who I thought were brilliant interviewers of one kind or another. And so I had a no-compete contract when I left Channel 2. I'd been stolen to work at Channel 2. Worked there from 1986 to 1990, and then had a no-compete. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do for at least 6 months? And I thought, well, why don't I become the Larry King of Reno? So I bought time on a radio station that barely got outside the building, and I was a member of the Downtown Reno Rotary Club, which at that time had all the biggies there. So the head of the power company, the head of the phone company, you name it, they were there. And so I would pick guests from there to come in and do this one-hour radio show. My wife, who was my producer, would do a pre-interview for about 45 minutes. We had a set list of questions that kind of gave me a path to go down. And what was funny was people forgot that she had done these pre-interviews, because I would say to them halfway through the show, well, I understand your family came over in a covered wagon from Utah, and they would go, oh my goodness, your research is unbelievable. How did you know that? Well, they had told my wife a week ago. But it was the beginning of doing these kind of programs. Those were hour-long radio shows. And one of the things it taught me was that you really can, if you're polite, ask anything you want to ask, and people will not be offended. And the example I'll give was the first time I got to interview Senator Reid. And this is around 1990. And he came on the program. He was my first big political interview on this show. And there were a couple of questions I wanted to get the answer to. And of course, he was dodging me. And I kept saying, you know, Senator, I know you've answered that question, but I really didn't understand it. And I just kept apologizing. And I probably asked him the same question 4 or 5 times. Finally, he would answer me. A clipped answer, but an answer. And I thought, by the end of the hour, this guy is never coming back. So at the end of the interview, he stands up, he shakes my hand and said, that was great, look forward to seeing you again. And I was stunned that I felt gone after this guy, and he was still willing to come back. And it just taught me and reinforced that you don't have to be a jerk when you're interviewing people. It works for some people, it just doesn't work for me, it's not my personality. And that people will come back. So over the years, I've had very few people who refuse to come back, and most people that we invite are willing to come on. So I think that's testimony to that those early days.
Well, I think that's fascinating. We're going to get into a little bit of that, because part of what I want to hear are some of the stories and some of the fun questions about who you've interviewed. But I also want to get your perspective on the relationship between media and politics. And obviously, media is considered the fourth estate, that it's a watchdog and a separate power compared to our political system and that reports on our political system. But I think that's changing, and I'm curious to hear your perception or your perspective from your career, how you've seen that relationship change.
Well, when I first came to Reno, and that'd be in 1978, I would watch the CBS, local CBS affiliates program Face the State. And Ed Pierce, who's still with Channel 8 these days, and the late Dennis Myers, would interview people like Supreme Court justices. And I would have no idea what they were talking about, but I was fascinated to watch for the half hour and see these deep discussions on policy questions and policy issues. And back then, the local media covered the Reno City Council, they covered the Sparks City Council, the County Commission, and the legislature, and as much depth as they could. And that's gone away, that we have very little of that. There are a few examples of people doing outstanding work in the field of politics, but I'm afraid that, as everybody knows, it's not a secret, that the news media is very excited to cover fires and police action, and that's another whole issue we can get into later if you want to. But as far as covering issues that are important to people, for example, you know, what's going on in the schools? Because if you've got kids in school, you need to know what's going on in the school system. You need to know what's going on in terms of the economics, you know, buying a house, what you have to pay in terms of maintaining that house. Things that are very basic to people's lives. And also presenting the positive side of a community. I can't watch a lot of local television anywhere in the country. I'm not blaming anybody in Reno or Las Vegas, but anywhere in the country, because they paint a picture that for me doesn't exist.
So I want to follow up on that when we come back from break. We'll be back right after these messages on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
It's one of the oldest scams in Vegas. Make them think one thing and pull off another. Meet Sam Brown, or as Republicans call him, Scam Brown. Brown created a special fundraising committee he said would be used to elect Republicans. But instead, Brown pocketed money for his own campaign. In fact, fewer than 2% went to helping other candidates. Sam Brown, can't trust him to be for you. Win Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And we're back on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. Filling in for Sam Shad, I'm Mike Draper, and I'm here with my guest today. It's none other than Sam Shad. Sam, thanks again for joining us.
Sure. Celebrating 22 years.
This is a lot of fun, and fun to turn the tables. I even wore my white tennis shoes in honor of the event. But I wanted to follow up on what we were talking about before we went to break, on how the relationship between media and politics has changed. One thing that I find interesting, and I think, you know, my background being in public relations and politics, you and I have always had some great discussions on this, but there was a Gallup poll not long ago that really, for the first time ever, showed that Americans have their faith in media. They have more Americans have no trust in the media than have trust in the media. What do you think about that?
I think it's incredibly sad, and I think it's incredibly unnecessary. And I'll take it away from that particular arena to put it in the arena it deserves to be in, which is the business model for news has failed. I mean, you have to have a product that people want to utilize at any time, and maybe this is my advertising agency background, but you have to start with the product that people want. And if you gut the product, or you stretch that product so thin, it used to be we had two or three shows a day. You'd have a 5:30, 6:30, and 11 o'clock news. You didn't have morning news, midday news, early afternoon news. Well, now you have tons and tons of newscasts because politics will buy the advertising space in those shows. But you only have the same amount of people trying to cover all those bases, and it's impossible. And most TV newsrooms will get together at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and say, well, what are we going to cover today? Well, I'll tell you this from my experience. You can't call the governor and say, hey, can you be at the station this afternoon at 3? It ain't going to happen. And so, you know, you're really not having the ability to cover the news in the way that it should be covered. But the business model, you have to start with, you know, what do people want to see? What information do they want to know? And I think all this negative news is just turning people off. And so if I were going to start a newscast, you know, beyond Newsmakers, but a daily newscast, my goal would be to have everybody in the community on my program at one point or another over the course of time. Because if you have somebody on the program, then their family is going to watch it, their cousins are going to watch it, their friends are going to watch it, they're going to talk about it, and you know, you're going to build an audience that way. But there's so many positive things in our communities that are not covered in local news. And so, you know, the phrase is doom scrolling.
Well, can I ask you a question about that? Because it's a lot like campaigns, right? We talk all the time, or more and more, that people don't want to see negative campaigns. We see that more and more. People say that they don't want to see negative campaigns, and yet they persist. And I can only think, and maybe it's just being jaded, that they persist because as much as we say we don't want to see negative news or we say we don't want negative campaigns, they work, especially when you're talking about news that can only be now digested in 30-second sound bites, and it's really hard to get into bigger issues or tell more of a story. It seems like maybe it's much more catchy to show the wildfire, to show the crime, just the same as it is in a mailer to show that somebody did something wrong than it is to say, here's who I am and what I propose to do right.
All right, so I went to a school about 6 months ago where the kids, and this was an elementary school, were doing science projects building Legos. And they were shooting videos on an iPad and editing them on the iPad. And these kids were so smart and so enthusiastic that I was inspired by who they are and what they are and what they're going to be in the future. I want to watch that story on TV. I don't want to, I understand you can't ignore the bad things that happen in the community, but they are far outweighed by the good things that happen in the community. And part of, I think, the success of Nevada Newsmakers is that we do pro-business things. We do talk about all these different projects that are coming online, the jobs that are coming with these projects, the growth, the benefits of that growth, how growth is going to be mitigated if that's a concern. But we're doing it from a positive point of view. We don't invite people to come on the program to beat them up. I have really no interest in that. Now, if somebody comes on and they're giving you a line of bull or they're lying, okay, then that's going to be a discussion. But for the rest of it, I want people to come on this program and have a conversation and tell us the positive things. I don't know about you, but I live on a nice street in a middle-class neighborhood where there are people going to good jobs, their kids are doing well in school. Why don't I hear about them? Why do I hear about drug dealers and the homeless and this and that? I'm not saying you should ignore it, but that seems to be the constant rather than here in Reno, we have a wonderful community. It's booming, Reno Sparks, the region. Southern Nevada is on fire in a good way. The hotel casino industry is doing great. Apex is doing great. There's more growth going on in Jean. These are the things I want to hear about. And if you're not going to tell me these things and you're just going to tell me about all the negative, I'm not bothering.
I have to tell you, again, when I started my career in 2004, you were one of the people that I was watching and trying to work with and get stories on. But as we watched the morning news and the 5 o'clock news, it was really, the tone was a lot different. And that's what we learned in school and even just from our career was, you know, people want to be inspired. They want to feel energized, especially, you know, watching the morning news. They want to feel happy and energized.
Right.
And in the evening, they got off work in a long day and they still want to feel, and it seems like that's just almost gone out the window.
I think one of the biggest problems that occurred was back in the mid-80s when we started to have producers come in to newsrooms. And in the old days, the anchors were the producers. And what that means for those that may not know is that's the person who decides what story's going to show, what order the stories are in. And when I worked with Tad Dunbar in the early days, he would go around the newsroom, talk to all the reporters, he'd have a sense of what the story was about. So he didn't just do an intro that was not connected. He would say, hey George, I saw that you were covering, you know, the moon landing or whatever, and they would have a conversation about it before they got into the story. He would know I was doing the weather at the time. He would ask me before the show, well, what's the weather going to be like? So Sam, I understand a big storm is coming in. It was a conversation. And he had pride in what he put together. Once we got to producers who were young people, nothing wrong with that, who were coming into a community, they didn't, like I was saying earlier, they didn't know anything about, you know, kids and mortgages and all the rest of things, city councils, etc. And so they were struggling to find things to put into those shows. And the anchors were losing touch with the ability to put things in a show that were based on them rather than based on these producers. And I think that was the beginning of the downfall. And then all those people got promoted over the years, and they're at Fox News and MSNBC and CBS and all the rest. So it's over 30 years, it's grown into that.
Well, I want to come back and talk about some of the things that have happened over the 22 years of Nevada Newsmakers, if you'll indulge me.
Of course.
We'll be right back on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Hit the open road on a brand new Harley or win a bundle of cash during the $250,000 Harley-Davidson giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Thousands in weekly giveaways, plus multiple grand prize winners, including cash and seven brand new Harleys. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Calamity. It lurks around every corner. Or not. That's why UMC Quick Care is around every corner with locations around the valley. UMC Quick Care. For all your small calamities.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Come one, come all, it's the $125,000 Carnival of Cash and Prizes at Tamarack Casino. Get in on the fun with cash and free play prize drawings every Thursday and Saturday, including winners of up to $1,000 and a top prize of $5,000 guaranteed each week. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
We're back on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Mike Draper, filling in for Sam Shad, and my special guest today is Sam Shad. Sam, thanks for joining us. We're celebrating the 22-year anniversary of Nevada Newsmakers, and I think this is a great way to celebrate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Sam, let's get into some fun stuff. I want to hear a little bit. We've got a couple minutes left, a little bit about Nevada Newsmakers. Everybody, I'm sure, asks. I was trying to avoid asking, but I'm going to ask it anyways. What's been one of your favorite interviews over this 22 years?
Okay, so I would say to you some of my favorite interviews would be people like Richard Bryan, who I've known since his Attorney General days. We mentioned Harry Reid earlier. Bill Raggio, Randolph Townsend, Barbara Buckley. I mean, these are some of the legends of Nevada politics that I've been privileged to have a relationship with, and so it's been a real thrill. But even beyond that, and this is prior to Nevada Newsmakers, but I had the honor and privilege of interviewing Jahan Sadat, who was the wife of Anwar Sadat, who was the one who went to Israel to make peace with the Israelis and was assassinated. And interviewing her was unbelievable. And then Benazir Bhutto, who is Prime Minister of Pakistan twice, I got to interview her. She was charming, gracious, and delightful. But being the Prime Minister of Pakistan had obviously ordered people to be killed. And it was fascinating to sit there and go, oh my goodness, you know, the two sides of this person. But she was an amazing person to get the chance to interview. So it's been a real thrill over the years. I'm so privileged. And our website has an archive that goes back currently to 2005. It's about to expand all the way back to 2002. Not every interview, but all the ones that we have. And then we're going to put together all those radio interviews I mentioned earlier from 1990 to 1993. It's become Nevada history, and I'm so proud of that because I never dreamed of being part of the history of the state.
So I've got just a couple more questions for you. If you had just one tip to give to somebody who was just coming out of school into broadcast journalism or journalism of any kind, but on being an interviewer or being a journalist, what would that tip be?
Throw your questions out the window. If somebody gives you an answer that you can follow on and have a conversation rather than worrying about the list of 10 questions you already prepared, it's way more interesting.
I can attest to that. You've told me that a number of times. Is there somebody that you haven't interviewed that either you wish you could have interviewed or that you hope to interview at some point?
Truthfully, not really. I mean, you know, if you go back through the list, I mean, Joe Biden, when he was running for president, not, you know, the time that he got elected, but one of the previous times when Obama was running, the first time I got to interview him. I've been so blessed to have so many incredible people, astronauts. It's been a wonderful career, and thankfully it's still going, and there are no plans to end this anytime soon. But I really don't have somebody that, because you never know. Sometimes the least exciting person that you think suddenly turns into the best interview ever.
Well, Sam, we ran out of time just before I was going to ask you who your most difficult interview was, so
darn,
I spared you. Thank you so much for letting me do this today. I've always enjoyed coming on the show, and certainly I've always enjoyed time around you, whether it's on the show or lunch and dinner, and you just have this, you know, bright personality, so I really appreciate it, and congratulations on 22 years.
Thank you, sir. It's been fun.
Thanks for joining us on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thank you for joining us on a very special, all-new episode of Nevada Newsmakers. I'm your special guest host, Mike Draper, and our special guest, Sam Shad, celebrating the 22-year anniversary of the show. Make sure to visit our website, watch all our episodes, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.